So I wonder what the word Pentecost means to you. What does immediately spring to mind when you hear that word? I think over the years, people may have been a bit wary of the word, and the word Pentecostalism can make you a little bit cautious, that you've been asked to embrace something that is extreme. Maybe it brings to mind that speaking in tongues. Maybe that makes you cautious too. We're thinking today of this coming of the Spirit in power to those early disciples, but also what the Spirit coming to us is all about. We know that if we read our Old Testament, the Spirit is present. The Spirit was hovering over the waters as God created the world. And we hear of different occasions when the Spirit came to individuals in the Old Testament, when they were called for a particular reason and then equipped for it. We also know that the Spirit was prophesied. The Spirit prophesied to come to somebody very special in Jesus, but also to come to others, as Jesus spoke about that too. The Christians who first received the Spirit on this special day had been shut up in a room. They'd experienced the resurrection and those appearances over the previous 50 days, and then witnessed the ascension 10 days previously. Of course, Jesus died at a special time, at the feast of the Passover, which actually lasted for 50 days until the feast of Pentecost. And Tom Wright says this: for first century Jew, Pentecost was the 50th day after Passover. It was an agricultural festival. It was the day when farmers brought the first sheaf of wheat from the crop and offered it to God, partly as a sign of gratitude and partly as a prayer that all the rest of the crop too would be safely gathered in. But for the Jew, neither Passover nor Pentecost were simply agricultural festivals. So we know that Passover was the time when the children of Israel were brought out of slavery. It tells the story of the Exodus from Egypt, when God fulfilled his promises to Abraham by rescuing his people. The lambs were sacrificed, the blood was smeared on the doorways, and the firstborn of the Egyptians were put to death, and the firstborn of the Jews were saved. And then we have the journey into the desert, of course. But 50 days after Passover, they came to Mount Sinai, where Moses received the law. Pentecost, for them, that their 50th day, wasn't just about the first fruits, but rather about God giving to his redeemed people the way of life by which they must now carry out his purposes. For me, that's the key. I'd never thought about this before, the significance of the day of Pentecost for the Jews being also so significant for us. Because the day of Pentecost for those first disciples and for us was that God is also now providing us with a way of life by which we can begin to carry out his purposes. The disciples couldn't do that without the Holy Spirit. They were hiding away in a room. They were afraid of what might happen to them. But the Spirit changed everything for them, equipping them to spread the news so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. So they were given the power. Power and purity, we're going to think about briefly. We know that wind and fire even, both have very special qualities. They can both help clear away, clean out. The wind can blow away the cobwebs. Fire is refining. And again, it's no coincidence that Luke describes these two particular activities of the Spirit that were experienced by the disciples. We all need the wind and the fire to purify us, to sanctify us, the word that was used in our last hymn. But we also most definitely need the power of the Spirit to be able to fulfil God's purposes of sharing the good news, of being the hands and feet of Christ. So whatever Jesus could do, we too, potentially with God within us, can do. John Scott says this: without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship would be inconceivable, even impossible. There can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the Spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, no Christ-likeness of character apart from his fruits, and no effective witness without his power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So there's some promises of Jesus. And we're encouraged to pray. So purity and power, but also prayer and promise, are important as we think about Pentecost and the coming of the Spirit to us. We ask as we pray, and we have asked for the Spirit to come to us this morning. The Spirit's presence with us is the most precious gift from God. John records a long conversation that Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room as he shared the Last Supper just before his arrest. And from John 14, we often read at funerals the passage where Jesus says to them to not be anxious, to not be afraid, because he is with them, but he will go away from them, and he will prepare a new special place, and he will come back and bring them to that place. Further in the chapter, we read, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." And then further in that conversation, he says, "I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." What did the disciples make of that promise? How could it be better for Jesus to leave them? They wanted him to bring in the kingdom of God, or to overthrow the Romans, or to do something dramatic whilst he was there and present. Better that he went away? Yes, because Jesus could only be in that one place and that time in that physical body. But the Holy Spirit would be for all people, at all times, in all places. And then Jesus, again in that conversation, lists some of the things that the Holy Spirit will do. We don't have time to examine all of those. But we know that as the Spirit is a gift to us, then the Spirit also brings other gifts to us. And we're going to hear from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 some of those gifts. Thank you, Helen.
Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 3b. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of the Spirit. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Amen.
It's about God giving to his redeemed people the way of life by which they must now carry out his purposes. He gives us gifts. All different parts of the body, all different gifts. I don't know whether you've ever thought, I haven't got any gifts. I certainly have. And we look at somebody else and think, I wish I could have a bit of that gift. It's like, as Paul says, the ears saying to the feet, I want to be able to walk. We need each other, and God gives us those varieties of gifts that complement one another. As in a body, We have to be connected and joined together. Sometimes I think that the Holy Spirit is like the blood that flows through our veins, that links us. But maybe the better idea is to think again of the Spirit as the breath, the oxygen that flows through us. Because without that in the blood, we wouldn't be here. The same word for the wind, the breath, the life is used. And the gifts, as parts of the body, help us to fulfil God's purposes. We somehow need the Holy Spirit to come to us in different times, in different ways. And some of the names that we give to the Holy Spirit help us to understand some of those. Now, I'd like two volunteers, please. All you have to do is stand. You don't have to say anything. I just need you to stand there, David.
Volunteer.
And maybe if Chris stood next to you.
Go on.
Now, will you please stand with your backs to each other? How does that feel?
I'm not sure.
I can see something good out here.
Absolutely. And Chris can see something good the way she's looking as well, I'm sure. I want you to imagine that you're Greek soldiers.
But they wear skirts, don't they?
They do, yeah. I didn't bring a kilt for you. One of the words that is translated in different ways in the Gospels is paraclete. And that is a Greek military term. For Greek soldiers fought in pairs. And in the heat of battle, each soldier became the other's paraclete. They were backup to each other so that each man had a rear guard against the enemy. There was now no blind side. Now, I can't imagine walking like that. But you can see they would have shields on their fronts and you're protecting each other's backs. So you could see what was going on. And you could, I'm sure, move a little bit sideways if necessary. But that's the origin of the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. We're not his paraclete, but the Holy Spirit is our paraclete, holding our backs, keeping us safe, watching out for us. You may sit down. Thank you very much. Our helper, that's how the word is sometimes translated, our protector. The Holy Spirit, we know, is our comforter, that's another word, our advocate, the Spirit of truth. So many different words that describe the role that the Spirit can have in our lives. I remember speaking about the Holy Spirit in the past and having little giveaway gifts for you to take away. And I may have done that here, but I can't remember. But one was a bowl of cotton wool buds, and another was a bowl of little squares of sandpaper. Sometimes we need the cotton wool, or we need a comforter, a comfort blanket like children have. Because we just need to be surrounded and know that we're surrounded by God's love. But that isn't how we need to live all the time. Knowing that we're surrounded by God's love, we also need to be open to the sandpaper, to the way in which God, through the Spirit, needs to rub off our harsh edges, to purify us. To use a different term. Roles of the Spirit as the Spirit is present in our lives. And as we are open to that activity from the Spirit, we experience again the power that we've thought about and peace. To go back to that idea of God's Spirit being like the oxygen, the breath in our bodies, together, but also individually. When I first started out as a minister, and some of you know me from that time, I found that I was getting a lot of sore throats. And doing 3 services a day was partly responsible. But it was also that I was so nervous that I was shallow breathing. And it affected my throat, and I had to have voice therapy. And I had to learn to breathe more deeply. Imagine the breath, she said, coming right from my toes, right up into my lungs and through my voice. And that helped so much. And I still need to remind myself to do that on occasions. As Christians, perhaps we get used to shallow breathing, to just taking in as much oxygen as we need for that minute. Help, God, help, I need you now. And we all need to learn to breathe more deeply. And our lung capacity for the Spirit will grow. We'll experience more and more as we allow that to happen. And as we breathe more deeply, the more power we'll experience within us, and we'll work more effectively in his kingdom. A picture, please. It might happen. Yay! What does that say to you? Certainly windy. How then are the trees not blown away? Because the roots are firm. And sometimes we wonder how they can be when we see where trees grow. But the roots are deep, as our roots need to be deep in God's love and word. And if our roots are deep, the only movement that we will have will be at the direction of the wind, at the direction of the Spirit, experiencing his power, but rooted in his love. Knowing that the Spirit will never hurt us, never damage us, that God's will is for our good, and that he wants to work his purposes out in us and through us, gives us peace. We come back to the promises of Jesus. Peace I leave with you, he said. Not as the world gives do I give to you, but my peace I give to you. And as Jesus came to the disciples in the upper room on that first day of resurrection, when the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So here we find those things together. The peace being breathed on the disciples, but also that commission to forgive. And in other places, the commission to go and tell and make disciples. Sometimes we think the sharing of the peace is just for times of Holy Communion. But I'm going to say those words and invite you to join. Look at me by all means when you say the with you the first time. But then share together as you look at one another. Because God's Spirit brings us peace within and peace among. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And you. And you. And you. And you. We thought briefly about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We know that as we draw on the Spirit more and more, the fruits will also develop in our lives. The Spirit of Truth was one of those names given to the Holy Spirit. So as I read these verses, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak the truth into our hearts concerning these. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Let us pray. Father, forgive us when the growth of the fruits of your Spirit in us are non-existent, or stunted, or diseased. Father, forgive us when we have been unloving in thought, word, or deed. Forgive us when your joy and peace have not been present in us and not flowed from us, because we've clung on to our worries or resentments. Forgive us when we have been impatient with you, ourselves, and others. Forgive us when we're unkind in the way we do things, or when we ignore need. Forgive us when we've been far from good, when we've carelessly and obviously sinned. Forgive us when our faithfulness and loyalty to you and others has been lacking. Forgive us when we've been unnecessarily forceful rather than gentle. Forgive us when we lose control of ourselves without passing that control to you, when we don't allow you to guide us. Lord God, we thank you again for the promises that you make and that you are faithful in the completion of them. So as we have confessed our sin, we thank you for forgiving us. As we have prayed for your Spirit, we thank you for that gift that we receive.